How are you today? Blessed. Amen. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 6 first. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 7, and then we will turn to Ephesians chapter 4, from where I'm going to read two verses. First of all, Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And if you'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 12. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Father, as we are going to open your word, we bow our hearts in reverence to you. We tune our ears to hear from you. And we are about to obey our will to your will as you are going to lead us in your word. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Today we have a special service. Once a year, at the beginning of the year, we've decided to have this Mark the Spot service. And towards the end of our service, we will mark the spot in a very specific way. But until then, I just aim to share with you several things from God's Word. I've entitled my sermon today, "A Church That Connects Lives." I'm not going to fully expand these two specific texts from the Bibles. Both of them could be approached in various ways, and they offer the basis for many sermons, if you like. But I would like to extract some lessons from this first church. We have started, first of all, since autumn last year, a series entitled "The Blueprint Towards the Connect Church." We slowly make progress towards the merging of two churches, George Road Baptist Church and Emmaus Congregation, who meets in the evening. And I welcome many people from Emmaus this morning, and they started from the beginning of this year to attend the morning service as we are heading towards this new reality of our church, becoming one church with multiple congregation. It is a special project in which we believe it has good biblical support, and God created the right context to have such a church. It wouldn't be possible without having this variety of people, without having this environment, this specific context. And it is truly a blessing to have it and to use it for God's glory and to grow His church in a unique way. And in this preparation, we will observe that Connect really plays an important role. That's why we don't fully know the name of our new church, but it gravitates around this word, connect, because we observed many ways in which God brought us together, connected us as two congregations, connected us as people, and He has a ministry of connection for each one of us, and especially in this specific area of Birmingham. And we truly believe, as leaders, that once we will establish a model of such church, God is going to play a crucial role with us across the country. Our vision goes beyond Birmingham, just so you know about this. But slowly, slowly. Now, we've learned many things from this first church, from the church when it was young. We looked in Acts chapter 2 when we've realized how they focus on at least five areas: evangelism, ministry, discipleship, ministry, fellowship, and worship. And we fully expound these things. And right now at Emmaus in the evening, I'm preaching on worship. As the church grew, in Acts chapter 6, we may easily talk about a mega church here. Over 20,000 people in a short amount of time. They experience a massive, rapid growth. Something is beyond their human capabilities. God is at work, but they are doing the right thing. But alongside this growth and good experience, they start experiencing some challenges and issues and problems. A church that grows experiences challenges. And as we read in verse 1, it is so clearly that in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, they start experiencing an issue between two different groups of people: the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebraic Jews. Hellenistic Jews are those Jews who lived in diaspora, on the Greek side of Jews. They traveled to Jerusalem. When Peter preached, many of them received Christ. They attached themselves to this new formed church, wonderful new concept they've never experienced. They decided to spend a lot more time. They abandoned their businesses and life, whatever they had back home. They decided to stick together. But at some point, because of this growth, some of them start complaining. What was the reason? They felt overlooked. They felt neglected. In other words, they felt disconnected. They didn't receive the care that they supposed to, basically they were expecting to receive. This is a reality. What can we learn from this first church? First of all, they acknowledge the problem. They didn't close their eyes and say, well, it's part of life. Wherever we have a group of people, especially a large group of people, problems would be there. They are there. What can we do? We just, you know, lift our shoulders and or ignore them, close our eyes. This is it. They acknowledge the problem. They realize this is part of our life. And we should acknowledge that we have needs, we have challenges, we have issues. We have people that are complaining. We have people that they don't receive the care that they should. And there are some issues that we need to address. They've done this. But it's not just acknowledging the problem. They address the problem. Having problems, it's normal. We do have problems in our daily life. We have personal problems, we have family problems, we have community problems, we have social problems, we have problems in a country, we have problems in churches. Churches are not an exempt. We sometimes believe so, especially when we first come to Christ and join a church. We think all these people are saints. Oh, only we struggle with some. And often it happens that we join a group of people and everything seems ever so perfect. We think that we are the only one that are having issues. We have two ways of addressing this. Wearing masks, pretending everything is perfect, or being transparent, acknowledging them, realizing, yes, we are redeemed, we are saved, we are God's people, we are Christians, but Christians have problems too. We will never be able to sort them if we are not willing to acknowledge and accept them. But then we need to address them. And this is what they've done. I'm not going into details because there are so many things I want to share and we have a limited amount of time. But they acknowledge and they address the problem. How did they address the problem? From the congregation, they have complaints. And once again, this is going to happen even more, especially when we bring different cultures together. We have various cultures in this church. Romanians will join in, people from Moldova, different cultures. These were Jewish, but with different cultures because they lived in different contexts. We have issues when we are in the same culture, but when we join, in a variety of ways. Now, the congregation voiced their issues, voiced the problem, voiced their complaints. Who took care of this? The 12. The 12. Who are the 12? They are the apostles. Verse 2. So the 12 gather all the disciples together. Stop here. They didn't, in the addressing the issue, they didn't first gather all the congregation together. There isn't an order here. They gather all the disciples. Who are the disciples? Perhaps the larger group that Jesus worked with, the 120. Not just the 12, but not the entire congregation. Not even the first converts, 3,000, that they first received the message that Peter preached. They gathered the disciples who were prepared by Jesus, who were initially in the service of this church, if you like, the core group of the church. They didn't gather the whole congregation and say, okay, do you have any suggestion? We have these issues. What do you think we should do? Come with some proposals. Because it's impossible. We sometimes want to do this and it doesn't work. They gathered the disciples. And then they established priorities. They acknowledge and address the problems. They establish priorities. And this is what we are about to do once again today. I've done it since I became your minister in a series of sermons. And I've done it throughout the years. And we are going to do it again and again because it's vital. Look how they start their message, if you like, when they gathered the 12. It would not be right. It's a very interesting way of putting things. We have a massive problem. People are disconnected. People are complaining. People don't receive the care they should. You don't normally start a speech, if you like, an address, a sermon. It is not right. It is not right to neglect the word, the ministry of the word, and to take care of these newly arising problems. Yes, we acknowledge them. Yes, we need to address them, but we need to establish priorities. And in the midst of these problems, the 12, the apostles, who have a special call from God, who were gifted and equipped in a specific area of their ministry, they had to establish priorities. And in establishing priorities, basically they say, we need to focus on the Word of God and on prayer. without closing the eyes to the problems. But we need to always focus on what is primal in ministry, not peripheral. These are genuine needs, but we cannot cover them all. We have other ways in which we can address them. And this is vital for us to understand. Why? Because we are a church. We are not a social club. Everything else here, if you would take the Word of God and the ministry of prayer, would turn in a social justice, social club, anything else. But a church stands different because their primal focus should be the Word of God. This is the key in order to connect lives. If you want to experience that community that God designed for each one of us, that God designed for the church, the Word of God and the ministry of prayer are crucial, are vital, play a central role in the church. And they had to establish this priority to say very clearly, this is what we are called to do. Yes, times to times we may do other things. And in saying we are not called to wait on tables, they didn't really say we will never touch a table or wipe a table or whatever. But they just had to say this is the vital priority for us. And we need to make it clear. They establish priorities and then they come with a clear proposal. Proposal. It not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on the tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. Basically, their proposal is once we establish priorities, we need to create a new structure. A structure that the church never had before. Because as the church grows, it needs a different structure. And within this structure, there will be other people involved in this ministry, covering the needs of other people, connected people together, covering or caring for their needs. It is not the structure that generates life. It is not the structure that really solves all the issues. The structure follows the growth of the church. It doesn't really produce growth. Often, we may fall into extremes and tendency to go either in a very structural way from the very beginning, a small group of people, they want structure after structural hierarchy or so, all sorts of things, or neglecting it at all and rejecting it. Everything that has life and health in this world grows. When we are being formed in the mother's womb, our body structures is taking form and then slowly, slowly develops after birth. But it is not our structure, the skeleton, that generates growth. It is because we are alive and because there is health that the structure grows together with the entire body. The structure is in place to support the life. In a church, it's the same. Imagine, you know, a human body without a skeleton. How would it have been? You know, just with the head. Just the head, and then just flesh. That's all that we need, is it? Well, if we have a minister and he is paid, well, we have Christ as our head, we know this, but then we have a human head here, and he is in charge with everything. Imagine a human body only with a head, and then the whole body without any skeleton. Ugly. Monstrous. But this structure is here to serve, to structure my life. And in our church today, we are going to do this as well towards the end. We need to add to the structure of this church as we are heading towards a new expression of church. And this is actually in line, not just with this text, but that's why I read the small bit from Ephesians chapter 4. Because in this structure, Paul basically explains this is how a church should function. So please open your Bible with me once again to Ephesians chapter 4. Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Even prior to this verse, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, says it is Christ's responsibility to endow the church. Endows the church in two specific areas. To each single member, Christ offers gifts. He enables the church with various gifts. He is the one who is gifting his people. And when we join a church, a part of our natural gifts and talents, often God chooses to offer supernatural gifts in order to serve that specific church, that specific community. It still happens. Natural or supernatural, our gifts are for a reason. And throughout the New Testament, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in Romans 12, that each one of us, we have various gifts, and these gifts are in order to serve one another. In order for his body to be healthy and grow, Christ endows the members of the church with various gifts. But among these various gifts, he endows the church with people as gifts. Not just gifts to people, but people as a gift to the churches. And this is what he says in chapter 11, in verse 11. Christ himself. Oh, we often think we elect them. Yes, we acknowledge them. But we are not really in charge. And we should understand this, that when we are a church based on Bible in obedience to Christ, he is the one that endows the church with people as gift. He gave. He himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. And I don't have time today to take each group of people to explain what their role is and so on. But I just want you to understand that he gives some people as a gift to his church, to his body, because they are going to play a specific role. And as each one of you have received various gifts, and each one of you are called by God to exercise the gift that you have, not the gift that you don't have. Yes, the one that you have, not the one that you don't have. People who are given to the church as playing a specific roles, they need to primarily stay in the realm of that gift. And one of this group is pastors and teachers. It's the same group. Pastors and teachers. What is their responsibility? If Christ's responsibility is to endow the church, look verse 12. Their responsibility is to equip his people for the work of service. In other words, let's expand to equip, to empower and enable others to serve, to cover the needs of the community, to act as links around people in order to connect the whole body together. Why? Until we all reach in unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attending to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If you like, all of them can be with E. Christ endows. ministers should equip, empower, enable people so people can exercise their gifts in ministry. So this is what the apostles had done in Acts chapter 6. They said, let's choose seven. Let's choose a group of people with specific qualification at that time, not a really big list, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Now, Paul later on, as the church grows, develops, adds to that list in 1 Timothy and Titus, but that's for later. Specific people as gift to the church in order to enable the others in ministry. And what they've done, they delegated this responsibility to them. That's exactly what they've done. So let's turn back to Acts chapter 6. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility, please note here, not a task. We will turn this task, no. We will turn this responsibility to them. What is the difference between tasks and responsibility? What if I want to be in control of everything? I delegate tasks. Brother Ed, move this. No, stay there. take this bottle of water and serve the other lady on the other side. Well, do that and that. Take the brush there, but then come back to me. I'll give you more tasks. I will always be in charge. They don't do this. They delegate responsibility because together with the responsibility, there is a level of authority. Yes? That means in that specific area of ministry, they are in charge. They have authority. That means empowering, not controlling. And this is exactly what Christ teaches us, or Paul teaches us in Ephesians chapter 2. That's why Christ gives people that enables others, empower others, encourage others in ministry. And we're about to delegate responsibility to it today. Now, you know, interesting is, as we follow the text and time flies, what is the congregation response? We've never heard of such things. Now, many believe that this is the base for diaconate. It's arguably these things, and I'm not going into that area. Yes, the word here is diaconate, which means serving. And often when we talk about serving, we need to add something to it, an object of service. And for them, that responsibility is clear, to take care of those in specific needs. It's arguably the point where the whole notion of diaconia starts in Scripture. But it's not my emphasis today. The whole point in the life of the church, a new structure and a new group of people with a specific reality or responsibility emerged, and nobody said, I never heard. I've been 80 years in this, I've been 60 years, I've never seen such thing. I've been in several churches and denominations, I've never heard of this, which often happens sometimes. But instead, verse 5, the proposal pleased the whole group. The proposal pleased the whole group. Why? It is biblical. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. They trusted in those 12. They were under their authority and recognized their leadership being entrusted by God Himself, by Jesus Himself. The proposal pleased. That's the result, part of the result. The second part of the result of such approach, verse 7. When we know how to acknowledge and address the problems we have, when we know how to set right priority or establish right priorities, when we come with the right proposal, the church agrees, the group is pleased, but it's not just that. Verse 7, so the word of God spread. Why? Why the word of God spread? Why is it so important to know this? Why it is here in conclusion? Because that group of people knew what their call is and what their priority is. This is primer. If that group of people would have been involved in all the other minor needs, the word of God would have been under the bushel. And this is crucial to understand. Regardless how many needs we will ever have in our church, the priority should remain priority. And when the priority is in place, when the preaching of the God's word is there in its place, God's word will be spread. And as a result of God's word being spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased. Yes, the church started with a problem because of growth, and the church continued to grow. And even more, a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now we know who the priests were in those days. Today you may say, those who believe, you may believe the least they will ever respond to the gospel. Those who are so stuck in their religiosity, rituals, their own way of seeing things. The priests that at that time orchestrated towards Christ crucifixion now are turning to Christ. Those who are rejecting the most the gospel, now they are turning towards the gospel. Why? Once again, because the preaching of God's word was central. And this is what we would like to happen in this church too. No matter what, with all the challenges, in fearless, in boldness, we should preach the word. And we should never expect from those who are gifted in this specific area to offer more to anything other or any other area than to this. And whenever it is possible, they will cover because the word of God teaches them to do so. But they should never, ever exchange priorities. On the other hand, even among the seven who were entrusted take care of specific needs, like, you know, distribution of food, we have Stephen. We can read later on in Acts that Stephen had never focused only on that specific need, but he always took the opportunity to do what? To preach the gospel. And he was ready to pay with his own life for this priority. This is a church that connects life. A church that acknowledges the problems and addresses them in a good manner. A church that connects lives, establishes right priorities. A church that connects life has the right structure, and it is a flexible structure. They are not afraid to try something new, to be creative. A church that connects lives, equips, empowers, and enables people in ministry. A church that connects lives pleases God and His people. A church that connects lives spreads the gospel and experiences continuous growth. Now, in order to mark the spot today, we have two specific things to do. We are going to follow in the footsteps of this church. And we've decided as a leadership team that we should enable more people in the congregation to assist with pastoral needs, to assist with visitation, with communion at homes, caring for people, helping to connect with one another, because we cannot expect that only the minister, the pastor, will do it. Why? Because we are all ministers. So I'm going to invite a group of people that we somehow decided to be part of this as a first step, basically. I don't have it with me, the list, but just a second. It looks like I left it in my laptop. Let me see if I remember each one of you then. I'm going to invite here, not on the stage because we'll be too many, in the front. First of all, the two elders that serves alongside with me. Then all the care group leaders, Jim, Sandra, David, together with Joyce, those of you who are couples, Bob and Barbara, Marie, Yvonne, Brown, Floyd, unfortunately, is not very well. We've learned some time ago that the church, when was young, learned to keep in balance their formal service with the informal service. They gathered in the temple courts, but they also gathered in homes. They celebrate, they had communion in the temple courts, but they also broke the bread in their own homes. Who served communion? Who led communion into that large church? Only the apostles? Definitely not. They had care group leaders. And this is the informal part of our structure. Throughout the week, there is life in our church. It is not just a service on Sunday morning. It is a daily activity. And in various days, these specific people care for different groups. Later today, I'm going to invite each one of you who are part of these groups to join them, but a little bit later, in our second stage of Mark the Spot. A part of them, we've decided to enlarge the team and invite a few other people to join and be part of this team. First, I'm going to invite Sheila. She is a deacon in our church, and she's in charge with our membership dimension of ministry. So please join me here. She's going to lead, actually, somehow, together with the elders, this team in its pastoral ministry. We're going to invite also Brother David and Wendy Munton. And McIntyre family, yes, Trevor and Dawn. Who is the other? Sylvia, yes. Sylvia just joined recently in our diaconate group as well. I think this is the group, pretty much. We can invite, yeah, KOD as a trustee as well. This is just because we want those who are couples to be together. Can we gather a little bit more together if possible? This is not an exclusive group. It is just an initial group. We expect our church to grow. So nice. You are allowed even to hold hands, those who are husband and wife. Now, quite a good group of people, diverse group of people. We are in ministry together. And as this church elected seven men, now we elected or appoint, and about to commission a larger group. They are going to assist me and the elders in the pastoral ministry. See them as the hands of Christ in addressing various needs of the community. Mercy, yes, as well. She was the latest addition. I actually created a PowerPoint, and then for some reason I decided to leave it there, and all these names should have been on the screen. We've decided for the first time in the life of this church, it never happened before. Never happened. Because we want you to see them, to acknowledge them as the pastoral team who is going to be in charge in various sort of ministries, taking care of people in small communities or groups, care groups, that's what they are called, groups, care groups, visiting people who are ill or immobilized in hospital. Encourage others. You can see in each one of them a Barnabas, if you like, who have the ministry of encouragement. They can do all these things, all of them. And many of you can do the same things. At the right time, there will be other people. We already have some others. Few of you are in our sight. Yeah. It's just an initial group. There will be others who are going to come alongside, including Mervis. She is already. First of all, two stages. I would like us all to stand. I'm going to read one single verse from the Bible. And I'm going to allow a time in which some of you, those of you who are led by the Spirit of God, to come in a short prayer, to bless them, to encourage them in a word of prayer. Be free to do it. Few of you, not too many. I'm going to stop at some point, and I'm going to conclude with one prayer. But first, I would like to read John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that fruit shall abide, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Amen. Let's pray for them. Let's commission them in this ministry. Let's acknowledge them as being the gift of God to our congregation. As you received various gifts, these people are the gift of God for this congregation to serve in this specific ministry. Please don't understand that there are not other people serving in various areas. This is just the pastoral team that is going to serve the church in a specific area of pastoral and care ministry. Let's bow our heads, and some of you, please come in prayers. I know we've never done it before, but many of us prayed before, so please be courageous. Amen. Amen.
Father, we thank you for this group of people who've been willing to step up and serve our community in this way, Lord. We pray for those of us who haven't yet been told that we're doing it, and that whenever we are told, whoever the sights are set on, they will also take a lead from these people and be willing to stand up and be counted when it's their turn.
Yes.
Those of us who do other things to serve you, whether it's privately or to do with the church or whether it's in our own way, Lord, help us to be more involved in the church, not only with the new vision that it's got for us, Lord, but just to help more people connect with each other.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes.
And they became aware of just who you were. And they also became aware of how important what you had said mattered in their life. Lord, for this group of women standing before us, we pray that they will come to be like initially the 12.
Amen. Amen. Almighty God, we bless your name today and give you thanks. And as we acknowledge and commission this team of people into your service, we pray that you will bless every individual here today in order that they will continue to be a great blessing for many. For many in our church and the community around us. I pray your special protection and your provision for them. I pray that you will continue to anoint them and gift them for the service you've called each one of them in this church. Help them to stay connected with you and your people. God, you showed yourself most fully in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who took the basin and the towel to wash his disciples' feet. In all times, you call leaders to serve your people in the same way. We pray that you are going to strengthen them, help them to resolve to follow Jesus in their private life, family life, ministry, community. Give them the discernment necessary to hear your call, your voice, to discern in the steps they need to take, the action they are going to be involved. Quicken their imagination to find ways of caring and supporting, communicating the wonders of your abiding presence in those in need. Fill their hearts with love for your people and fill our hearts with love for them. Let their caring actions be a source of strength and assurance for your people. Help them and each one of us to bear much fruits for your glory. This we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Sustainer. Amen. Amen. You may want to encourage them with a round of applause for the glory of Christ. As part of this team, Maureen Green should be part as well. She's not very well, so she couldn't attend the service, but you may see her in action. So just so you know. And Mike Nevitt and Olive, of course. Yeah, Mike again is not very well. I'm sorry, I really should have had the PowerPoint. For some reason, I was focusing mainly on the sermon and then I neglected this specific area. Now, please stand and we are going to... take your seat. Take your seat. In a very vivid way, we are going to mark the spot quickly. I'm going to ask each care group leader to find a spot in the church. We are going to spread in various areas of the church, especially Bob, Charlie, and Barbara as care group leaders. If you can, just join around Carmen. And once all the care group leaders please go and decide where they can place, I'm going to invite all the members who are part of these specific care groups to go, join together around your leader, and hold hands, connect together in this way. Now, although the elders are involved in these care groups, we constitute a group of elders, and we are going to be together connected in this way. As I cannot be in ministry on my own, and I always need the support of my dear wife, Elena. She's not an elder, but she's my wife. She's the most connected with me. I'm going to invite her to join us. Same if Rachel is around. If not, that's fine. She's encouraged. Okay. There are people from Emmaus here, so you don't feel excluded. I know that there are two different groups. So we have a care group or a house group in Erdington. Those of you who are part of Erdington group from Emmaus, please join together. And those of you who are part of Acox Green, you can join together Acox Green. So you are part of a group. There are also other kind of ministry in this church. I'm aware of this. There is a super kitchen group. There is a food bank group. There is a choir group. There is a merging team which whom... you know, together we work in the merging process. This is how we are connected together. If we look around, time flies, so we want to finish.
Youth team as well.
We have a youth team, exactly. we may not be able to really gather together all the groups in this church, but yeah, the youth group can gather. The whole point is to create this vivid picture so we realize that this is the life of the church. This is how we are connected together. In many ways, we interact. It's impossible to really project exactly with accuracy everything that happens in the church. But we are also aware that there are people who feel disconnected for various reasons. This is not to embarrass anyone today here, but it's just to create a moment, really, and challenge each one of you. If you are part, officially part of this church, where you may consider this in the future, to take a stand and to take a decision at the beginning of this new year, 2020. Let it be a year in which we say we want to connect more. It's not enough to attend a church service every Sunday or times two times. If you feel you want to connect in a way, take a stand before the Lord. If you want to express this standing up, you can do it. If you want to stay there, just take a decision before the Lord. I'm going to connect. Christian life, it is not a life to live in isolation. It is really not enough to just be part of a service. Being part of a church means we should be connected from Monday to Sunday, from Sunday to Monday. There will be people facilitating this. You have seen them. We've commissioned them. They are going to gather together at some point and decide how they are going to implement this new concept and help each one of us to be connected. Are we going to experience issues and problems and challenges? Yes, of course. Are we going to be, put down because of this? No. We need to acknowledge them, we need to address them, we need to establish priorities all the time, and we need to come up with good proposals to address this issue in order to serve each other and together to serve the Lord. Take a stand, take a decision. This year needs to be a year of connection. Connected with one another, connected with the Lord, connected with the Word of God, and connected with our world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please go back to your seats, wherever you like, and one final song. And after this song, we will have about 10 minutes break. The members of this church will remain here for a short meeting, while the others will go for tea and coffee.